Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
And I really don't want to see you getting radiation poisoning from the metal detectors that all passengers of foreign and domestic flights must walk through. I'm sorry, forgive me for all the mean things I said to you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the Republican Convention in St. Paul. Day two here, and Republicans hope to get past their storm-delayed agenda. Campaigning in Philadelphia today, John McCain strongly defended the system that checked into the record of running mate Sarah Palin.
My vetting process was completely thorough, and I'm grateful for the result.
There's word that Bristol Palin's boyfriend plans to join the family of the vice presidential candidate at this convention. His mom says there was no pressure for him to marry the pregnant daughter of Sarah Palin. President Bush speaks to Republicans from the White House tonight. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Bob Schieffer previews the talk.
The theme of this is put America first, put the country first. And I think you're going to hear him talk about what's going on down there on the coast. I don't think he will get too political tonight.
Primetime speakers include two McCain friends, Independent Senator Joe Lieberman, the 2000 Democratic vice presidential contender, and former Senator Fred Thompson. I'm Peter Mayer, live in St. Paul. Now with more news, here's Jim Taylor.
Hundreds of thousands of Louisiana residents being told they can't go home. CBS's Cammy McCormick in Houma, Louisiana.
It's very clear why they're not letting the residents return here. The power lines are down, not only across the roadways, the trees are down in some cases, and the trees have pulled down these large power poles. But in this particular case, we've just stopped on the road here because there's a low-lying power line that we've just driven under, which is a little nerve-wracking. But you don't know which of these power lines are still live.
Mayor Ray Nagin telling New Orleans residents they may be allowed back on Thursday. Well over a million Louisiana homes do remain without power. G-H-I-J. Gustav's gone, except for the rain. Hannah is coming after belting the Bahamas. And then there's Ike and Josephine. Tropical storms lined up across the Atlantic, poised to pack a wallop when they arrive. And more letters of the alphabet are waiting. The peak of the hurricane season is not until the 10th of September. And this season already has 10 named storms, which is the long-term average for an entire season. Volatility describes the price of oil, dropping $5 today, $110 a barrel, due to Gustav dodging the Gulf Coast oil fields. But, as we hear from CBS business reporter Alexis Christophorus,
let's remember we have tropical storms still brewing in the Atlantic. We also have an OPEC meeting next week, so oil for the time being is going to be a pretty volatile market.
Women who smoke have heart attacks, nearly 14 years earlier than women who do not. Norwegian doctors presenting a study to the European Society of Cardiology today. For men, the gap is not so dramatic. Male smokers have heart attacks about 6 years earlier than men who don't smoke. Study of more than 1,700 people finding that men on average have their first heart attack at 72 if they don't smoke, 64 if they do. Women in the study have their first heart attack at age 81 if they don't smoke, 66 if they are smokers. Stocks up with those initial oil reports, but at day's end, the Dow loses 26 points. NASDAQ off 18. This is CBS News.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W! Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Alternative energy. Land clearing is underway for a 44-turbine wind farm in western Maine. Contractors expected to start work on roads to the plant towers this week. Clearing for roughly 17 miles of roads already begun. Power generation to start up by the end of next year. You ever wonder how much money you might save by buying a hybrid? CBS's John Harchi finding out.
Hybrid gas electric vehicles cost more to buy than their gas-only counterparts, but with gas prices up and demand for hybrids pushing up resale values, Consumer Reports now says most hybrids save you money overall within a year, certainly over a typical five-year ownership period.
The best payoff, hands down, was the Toyota Camry hybrid at $4,250.
Editor Eric Evart says they used actual MPG achieved in the magazine road test and figured $4 gas.
If gas prices go down to $3.25 or $3.50 a gallon, it won't really change anything.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month per $1,000 finance on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. back in the 415.
Great to be back here in California. We don't have a budget, and Arnold's still our governor, but nice to be out of Denver, and I'm glad I'm not in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
People moving out, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And I, boy, and I, a 2-4-2, vote for me, and I'll set you free.
We've got a great show lined up for you today. Can you say Palin, not Palin? Palin was in Monty Python, and Palin is a comedian from Alaska, and it's getting funnier by the moment. We've got a lot to talk about today. John Nichols from The Nation is in St. Paul. We're trying to reach him right now, and he's probably in a noisy place, but we'll connect up with him sooner or later this half hour. Also on today's show, Professor Andrew Bacevich from Boston University. The author of a new book called The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. And this exceptionalism is a virus that afflicts Democrats and Republicans. We're going to talk about that. Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, will be with us an hour from now. And we'll talk about how McCain could pick Sarah Palin. And we get conflicting accounts. The most he has met her face-to-face twice, including once the day before he announced her as his VP pick. And all sorts of things are surfacing. The pregnant daughter, the trooper gate, Jason Leopold's dug into that. He'll be telling us about it next hour. And this could be an Eagleton moment. Thomas Eagleton was picked as the vice president and then dumped because it was disclosed on further vetting that he had been to see a psychiatrist, and the Democrats decided that they couldn't run a vice presidential candidate with that kind of history. And some people are already speculating that Sarah Palin may be a very short-lived VP pick for John McCain. And, of course, the Hurricane Gustav rolled through New Orleans and the Gulf Coast on Sunday. Seven people were dead at the last account that I saw. But not nearly as bad as it could have been. And, of course, the storm had declined in strength by the time it hit New Orleans and Louisiana. And there's another one, Hannah, behind it. So we'll be watching carefully for that. And the retooled Republican convention will kind of get started tonight. They didn't do that much. The First Lady and the prospective First Lady, that's Laura Bush and Cindy McCain, gave a little talk and did some interviews. But there was no real official business at the convention last night. And apparently President Bush is going to deliver his address anyway. It seemed that the hurricane was a good reason to get rid of Bush and Cheney from the lineup. And there's no word that Cheney has been rescheduled, but apparently Bush will speak by satellite from Crawford or, I don't know, somewhere, to the convention here on Tuesday night. We've also learned that the St. Paul police are being very tough. And while there have been some provocative events, yes, there are some protesters who attacked a police car and who threatened a police officer who then pepper sprayed them. Amy Goodman, the journalist who hosts Democracy Now! On Pacifica and on Link TV, was arrested about 5 p.m. on Sunday. And she was trying to win release of two of her producers who had been detained by the police. And there is a video at YouTube that I got to watch late last night about Amy Goodman's arrest. And it does appear that she was, she wasn't wrestled to the ground like the Code Pink protester in Denver last week. But it struck me that there was unnecessary roughness used to detain her. And she was trying to protest her arrest, and they just ignored her and took her into custody. So when we talk to somebody on the ground there, we'll find out more about the status of Amy Goodman. According to the New York Times, at least 56 people had been arrested by Monday evening. The Secret Service had a separate count that put the number up around 78. And it does appear that there will be heavy, heavy security in St. Paul this week. Nick, keep trying John Nichols. He's probably in a noisy location, and at some point he'll notice his phone is ringing and say, oh, yeah, I agreed to talk to Peter B. I did see John Nichols Friday at the airport in Denver, and we talked about talking this week, so hopefully we'll be able to connect up with him. And while we're waiting, I'll just share some thoughts from my experience in Denver last week. As we did refer to on the live broadcast from Radio Row in Denver, it was a little challenging for us because we were tucked away on the first level of the Pepsi Convention Center, and we were out of the action. We couldn't really see what was going on the convention floor. We didn't have enough TV monitors or other ways of monitoring the actual moment-by-moment action in the convention hall. And likewise, we were disconnected from the events outside of the security bubble. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Secret Service and the TSA, and by the way, that was your taxpayer dollars at work, about $50 million appropriated for each of the conventions for security, and they really poured it on. Now, to be fair, there was a guy with rifles who showed up at Nancy Pelosi's hotel, said he didn't know there was a convention. He had just picked up his hunting weapons from the shop while he was in Denver. And then there was an alleged Aryan white supremacist who had a high-powered rifle, and he had two friends who were high on meth. And the cops busted the three of them and said that they had busted up an attempt to assassinate Barack Obama. I haven't heard anything further about that case, so I don't know how real it was. But clearly, with the stadium appearance, and I have to say, as I watched Barack Obama speak at Mile High Stadium on Thursday, more than once the thought went through my mind that somebody might try to kill him. And so I don't trivialize the need for security, but smart security, please. And so, for example, we were not allowed to bring in oranges, apples, or other kinds of fresh fruit past the security barrier at the Pepsi Center. They did allow me to bring in a Quiznos sandwich one day. because the food inside there was high-priced ballpark food, and it sucked. It was awful. And given that we were going to be behind the security bubble for 7-8 hours at a time, well, we tried to make other arrangements, and sometimes they would make me take a sip out of my water bottle as I passed through the Secret Service checkpoint there. So that part was annoying. But where it reached the point of ridiculousness was after the stadium speech on Thursday night, because the crowd control just was awful, if it existed. And time and again, as I was pressed in with thousands of other people trying to exit the stadium, and we were outside of the stadium proper on these aprons, there was a walkway under a bridge, under the freeway that took us across to the Pepsi Center where my car was, and also thousands of people were trying to go in the same direction to get to a light rail station that's nearby. And the lighting was poor. The markings on these walkways were very poor, and there were people who were forced to climb over these concrete barriers, you know, that are about 3.5 feet high. Several people scaled some chain-link fence that had been temporarily erected there. And all through this, the hundreds, if not thousands, of security people just stood there and watched. And I got aggravated, and I said to some of them, "Can't you help us? Can't you direct traffic?" And they snidely said, "Oh, talk to Obama." So there were certainly rankled feelings there that the security officials, I guess, felt the Obama campaign had thrown a big burden onto them with this outdoor event. And they decided that we would pay. And so the throngs of people who were huddled there, fortunately, I heard no reports of a stampede or any kind of panic, but it could have occurred, and it was something I was very concerned about. And likewise, the throngs of people prevented the charter and shuttle buses from leaving the stadium. So virtually everyone, except a few VIPs, was trapped outside Mile High Stadium for up to 90 minutes after the Obama speech ended on Thursday night. Now, to the speech itself, I have to say that Obama is an amazing political figure, and that he rose to the occasion that he helped create, this coronation in the stadium with the Roman columns framing the picture. And I thought that his speech was excellent. My criticisms of his policies remain on certain subjects like Afghanistan and Iran and Georgia. But on the most, you know, important issues, he really delivered. And the crowd was certainly wowed by it. And on my mini digital recorder here, I've got just a couple of post-speech comments that I'll share with you here. Oh, that wasn't one of them. Let's see what we got here. It wants to stop there. Maybe it's on number 10 here. Let me try this.
Sir, what did you think of the speech?
I thought it was great.
What really struck you?
The pre-text left all the red meat out, and the more detailed text that they distributed a little later was really an exciting speech.
All right, thank you. What did you think of the speech, ma'am?
It was amazing. It was the best one I've ever heard. Truly enjoyed it.
Pardon me, sir. Tell me what you thought of the speech.
Well, I thought it was fantastic.
What really resonated with you?
Well, the fact that he laid out his plan, I thought was very good. And we just can't put up with any more of what we've had in the past. I think he just pushed that point home.
Great. Thank you very much.
So those are a couple of people who attended the speech at Mile High Stadium. Now, if you watched it on television, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get through to John Nichols right now. So I want to open up the phone lines here for the next segment and get your comments. If you watched the speech and you watched it with Chris Matthews' commentary and you want to push back on that, you're welcome to do so. Curiously for us, Denver was an MSNBC free zone. I don't know why, but the Comcast cable at the house we rented in Denver did not include, we could not find MSNBC. We got loads of Fox, but not MSNBC. So you may have heard things there that I missed last week, and you're welcome to bring them on and talk about them. Toll free, my number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll take your calls after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down.
It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
And people say we act like clowns. We know natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. John Nichols, my brother from another mother, is live from St. Paul, Minnesota. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. I am on the convention floor, if you can believe it. So I will give you a full dose of Republicanism.
Well, it sounds kind of quiet there, like everybody's praying to St. Gustav.
Well, I'm trying to keep the phone closed. It's starting to fill up, and it looks you know, reasonably energetic. I'm over by the Alaska delegation, and they are all wearing hard hats that have a map of Alaska, and then on the side they say, drill here.
Any Ted Stevens fans there or Don Young fans in the Alaska delegation?
Well, I think they're delighted to be able to talk about Sarah Palin as opposed to Ted Stevens or Don Young. You know, the truth of the matter is that the Alaska delegation is seated at the back of the hall. They had, like, the farthest seats from the stage.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody anticipated that they were going to be really big players at this convention. But now, of course, they're superstars. Everybody's interviewing. Every Alaska delegate is being interviewed. It's kind of a wild trip for them.
Now, John, before we talk more about Governor Palin, what is the latest on Amy Goodman? Has she been released from her arrest on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Amy Goodman was arrested on Monday afternoon outside the Excel Center where the Republican National Convention is being held. She was held well into the evening, but was released in time to do her morning show today, and she still faces a misdemeanor charge, and two of her producers face felony charges. It really is an absurd thing, and not only was Amy arrested, but so too was an Associated Press photographer and many independent media folks and producers. So they really went overboard here in the arrest, not only of demonstrators, but especially of journalists.
Mm-hmm. And is there appropriate revulsion at these hard-headed tactics by the police?
I think that within the Republican convention, there's general enthusiasm for it. My sense is they probably, by and large, in favor of arresting journalists. But in the city of St. Paul and in Minneapolis, which, of course, as you know, is a very, very liberal community, there has been quite a bit of objection. Journalist groups have stood up and raised complaints, as well as the American Civil Liberties Union, the National Lawyers Guild. So there's a good, healthy discourse about it.
And, John, returning to the surprise nomination of Governor Palin, is she the next Thomas Eagleton? Will she die by a thousand cuts and be quietly, quickly removed from the ticket?
Well, I don't know why you would possibly say that, Peter. Just because it was revealed today that the extent of her foreign travel was the changing of planes at the Shannon Airport in Ireland. You know, look, every day brings a new revelation, most of them pretty damaging, but in reality, Palin will be judged by her speech tomorrow evening to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
If she gives a great speech, and I was just talking to Alaskan delegates who say she's a very good public speaker, that will be her real introduction to the American people, and it may actually go very well for her. So, now, I don't think that it's likely that, at least in the short term, she ends up as a Tom Eagleton getting bumped off the ticket. But I do think there is a very, very strong possibility that she ends up being more of a hindrance, more of a damage to the ticket than a benefit to the ticket. It's especially a lot of discomfort among older women, and it's starting to show up in some of the tracking polls with the her decision.
John, I'm out of time. That's John Nichols in St. Paul.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin was blunt Saturday night.
You need to be scared. You need to be concerned. And you need to get your butts moving out of New Orleans right now.
A hurricane's coming. Stay or go. If you live in a part of the country where hurricanes hit, it's a question you have to ask and answer. More after this.
Hey, Ted, there's some guy with a guitar standing behind your ATV.
I know. Hit it, Larry.
Open road, stretching forever. Me and my best friend gonna have some fun.
What was that?
Oh, that's my folk singer. I saved so much money on my ATV insurance by switching to Geico, I was able to get this guy to play songs for us all day.
Saving you money on your ATV insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Geico Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Many say New Orleans simply wasn't built to last. It's so low it has to have levees to protect it when hurricanes come, and they do come. Katrina proved that even the levees aren't enough.
People didn't really think Katrina would hit. Everybody watched the blob on their TV screens, and many residents, including myself, said, you know what, I'll wait it out.
Historian and author Douglas Brinkley, who's lived in and written about the city, loves New Orleans. Most people who live there do, too, and wanted to stay, even when they heard Hurricane Gustav was headed their way. Then they heard the mayor call it the storm of the century. Tell them to get out right now. Brinkley tells the CBS Evening News that, combined with the awful memories of Katrina, was enough to start people moving. So this time they got out. The damage to the city was bad, but not nearly as bad as that caused by Katrina. So now many residents are wondering if they should have stayed. Douglas Brinkley says think long and hard before you decide to ride the next one out, and there will be a next one.
If a Category 5 modern levee and dike system isn't built in the coming decade or so, New Orleans is still a very dangerous place to be during hurricane season.
And as this man said on the road out of the city,
you don't take chance with your life. You have only one life.
Hurricane Gustav is moving to the northwest near 15 miles per hour.
Strongest winds right here.
We're beginning to see the effects of Gustav roll on through. The wind.
The next hurricane will raise the same question, stay or go? The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, more on John McCain's VP pick. We'll talk with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, and Jason Leopold from The Public Record, who's done some record diving. Is that he's been diving into the records of Sarah Palin as governor of Alaska. And we'll talk about the Troopergate case, among others. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You can use it, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. And our next guest is not on the line yet. Andrew Basevich is a professor at Boston University. And he's written a powerful new book called The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. And it's powerful in its brevity. It's under 200 pages long. And in it, he makes the case that we are not as special as we think, we're not as special as we act, and that if we were more realistic about that, we would have better relations with other nations around the world and probably wouldn't be mired in Iraq and maybe even Afghanistan right now. So we're trying to reach him, and Nick is working on that. And as we do, I want to take a moment here to thank the people who helped to cover the costs of our adventure in Denver at the Democratic National Convention. It cost quite a bit. Telephone lines, air travel. We got a real steal of a deal on a rental house via Craigslist. I mean, we did everything we could to keep our costs down. But I want to thank the people who generously reached into their pockets. And I'm going to name some of the people whose checks or donations just arrived recently, because there were quite a few at the P.O. Box when I visited there over the weekend. So let me name a few of the names now, and we'll do this again a little bit later on the program. Lawrence Strick, the law office of Lawrence Strick, came in very close to the last minute as a sponsor of the program, and I thank Larry Strick for that. You can visit their website at stricklaw.com, S-T-R-I-C-K, or call them toll-free at 888-529-0909. That's 888-529-0909. And he's a great progressive, politically active guy, Larry Strick, and a damn good lawyer, too. So if you need one, he is the guy to call. Ed Uyeki in McKinleyville, Seth B. Farhey in Arcata, Kim Larkins in North Highlands, that's the Sacramento area, Peggy Kestel in Smith River, California. And here's one of the things that really is interesting to me, because I got support from people that I didn't know exist and listen to this program, like Del Leonard in Waterford, Maine. And here's another one, Charles Cornwell in Madison, Wisconsin. Dale Kenny, a female, Dale Kenny in Washington, D.C. These are people who all surfaced to support our adventure in Denver. And I didn't even know you were listening, so I'm very grateful to you. Sharon O'Brien in Trinidad, Barbara Glass Wilson in Fortuna, Patricia Jameson in Alameda, Margaret Anderson of Berkeley, Mary Eddington of San Francisco, Marjorie Bromser, Port Orford, Oregon, Peter V., a longtime listener, I think, from day one of this program. He lives in Soquel. Thank you, Peter. Thomas Chin in Danville, Patricia Rogers in San Francisco, and an anonymous contributor of a single-dollar bill from Portland, Oregon. I value each and every one of your contributions and the support that that represents. Joining me now is Professor Andrew J. Basevich. He is a professor of history and international relations at Boston University, retired from the U.S. Army at the rank of colonel. And his new book, as I mentioned, is called The Limits of Power. Professor Basevich, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much. And by the way, I can barely hear you.
All right. Well, then I'm going to turn up the volume. We'll see if that helps a little bit. Is that better?
A lot better. Thank you very much.
You bet. Yeah, we were remote from the Democratic Convention last week, and we had our knobs in different directions. So, first of all, I just want to acknowledge the editor of your book is Tom Engelhardt of Tom Dispatch, that many of us know. That's an affiliate of the Nation Institute. And Tom brings great writers and thinkers like you to our attention on a regular basis, and I just want to acknowledge that.
Tom himself is a great guy, I'll tell you.
And how did he help you with this book?
Well, he was the editor. I mean, he was the first guy to read through my draft, the guy who offered me some structural guidance, and at the end, the person who went through it line by line, you know, saying, this sentence doesn't make any sense, and this word is not the best word. So he's really, I have to say, quite a brilliant editor.
Yeah, he is. And he's had his pulse on critical issues like this and some of the bigger ideas that we need to examine. Because many of us get bogged down in the moment and a sense of nationalism that is kind of pruriently driven in many respects. But I think it's very important to address what you have brought out in this book, because the American media, in collusion with the Bush administration, has always made us out to be on the right side of everything. We wear the white hats, whether we're torturing people at Guantanamo or Abu Ghraib, or detaining people in violation of the Geneva Conventions, or prosecuting a war that we didn't really get United Nations approval for, but we pretend we did. And all down the line, Bush and Cheney in particular do not recognize the limits of American power. How do you define this sense of exceptionalism, and where does it bump into reality?
Well, I think one of the points I would want to emphasize for your listeners is that the story by no means begins with the current administration. When I use the term American, or the phrase American exceptionalism, I mean the sense shared by many Americans, not only in this generation but in past generations, that we are a special people, that we have a providential mission, that because we have that mission, we are to enjoy unique prerogatives to exercise power. This is a theme that runs throughout American history. My concern is that although you can make the case that this sense of specialness and entitlement may once actually have served the interests of the country, I think it no longer does, and in fact really is creating a condition of dependency and debt that really poses a danger to us as we go forward.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that it's not limited to Republicans and it's not limited to foreign policy, but I think that's where it's in sharpest focus right now. And, Professor, in the interests of that balance that you're just trying to strike, I jump to the conclusion of your book where you talk about Barack Obama and the victory speech he gave in Iowa last January. And it has similar themes to the stadium speech that I witnessed in Denver last Thursday. You cite a quote from him tackling terrorism and nuclear weapons, climate change and poverty, genocide and disease. And you talk about his call for change that is politically rather seductive. But what the shift in administrations really represents is not change, but continuity. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we don't properly appreciate.
Whether they've been tested properly.
The Republicans and Democrats, for their own partisan reasons, portray each as totally different from the other. Portray your enemies as the devil, and you portray yourself as on the side of the angels. That way, I think that to understand how we got in our present predicament, you have to appreciate the continuity in American history. My objection to the Obama rhetoric, which I myself certainly find appealing in an emotional sense, my objection is that
more important preserving
both he and McCain suggest that somehow electing the right person president, installing the right imperial president, is going to provide an antidote to all of our problems. I am absolutely persuaded that the problems we have, whether they are the problems of energy dependence or whether they are problems of an imperial foreign policy, stem in part from the expectations that we, the American people, impose upon our political leaders. So to think that erecting, electing, you know, candidate A versus candidate B is going to bail us out, I think is an illusion. We need to look ourselves in the mirror, the people. We need to make some adjustments in the American way of life.
And I don't want to misrepresent this, but at the other extreme is Ralph Nader's characterization that there wasn't a dime's bit of difference between Bush and Gore or Bush and Kerry. And, you know, I think it's at least a dollar and a half.
I think, actually, you're putting it exactly right. I mean, it's a dollar and a half. It is not that there are no differences. I mean, I myself will certainly vote for Senator Obama. I cannot imagine allowing the Republicans to retain control of the White House, given the performance of the Republican Party over the last 7 years in power. But having said that, I don't believe that if Senator Obama wins the presidency, which I hope he does, that somehow, you know, salvation will be at hand. It won't be.
Don't bother. And let me read two quick paragraphs here from The Limits of Power. We're talking with Professor Andrew Bacevich from Boston University. To hardcore nationalists and neoconservatives, the acceptance of limits suggests retrenchment or irreversible decline. In fact, the reverse is true. Acknowledging the limits of American power is a precondition for stanching the losses of recent decades and for preserving the hard-won gains of earlier generations going back to the founding of the Republic. To persist in pretending that the United States is omnipotent is to exacerbate the problems that we face. The longer Americans ignore the implications of dependency and the longer policymakers nurture the pretense that this country can organize the world to its liking, the more precipitous will be its slide when the bills finally come due. A realistic appreciation of limits, on the other hand, creates opportunities to adjust policies and replenish resources, perhaps even to renew institutions. Constraints subject old verities to reconsideration and promote fresh thinking and unleash creativity. And I think you make a number of very important points here, that Bush and to be fair, earlier presidencies have created this illusion that America is invincible and is always right no matter what we choose to do. And by overextending that projection of American power, we expose vulnerabilities and weaknesses that actually make us more vulnerable than if we had measured our response and measured the extension of our power.
I mean, all I can say is amen. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I mean, part of my problem with Senator Obama, and again, I'm not anti-Obama by any means, is that he unthinkingly endorses the proposition, at least tacitly, endorses the proposition that global war provides the proper antidote to violent Islamic radicalism. His differences with Senator McCain really are differences of operational priorities, not of strategy. Mm-hmm. McCain wants to win the war in Iraq. He says he'll stay there forever if necessary. Obama says, no, I want to shift the effort to Afghanistan. Neither candidate is willing to consider the possibility that open-ended global war is not in the interests of our country and does not provide the proper response to violent Islamic radicalism.
Well, I want to talk further about
that. That's the kind of issue I think we need to be debating.
Indeed. We need to take a break, Professor. When we return, I want to talk more about that because I, too, am concerned that mission creep in Afghanistan without proper debate and a reanalysis of why we're there and what the purpose of more American troops would be is very dangerous and almost reckless. And then I want to talk about Iran and Georgia, where the Obama themes are way too similar to those of John McCain. The new book is The Limits of Power. Andrew Bacevich, B-A-C-E-V-I-C-H, is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll be right back.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Now, Republicans can have a convention.
Delegates unite around Sarah Palin as the Republican convention fires up. I'm Howard Ehrenstein in St. Paul.
Gustav was a messy visitor, and people are thinking about tomorrow.
Reentry is only days away and not weeks away.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. Now that Gustav is just a rainstorm, the Republican convention can step off. In St. Paul, CBS's Howard Ehrenstein.
The convention really gets underway tonight with a video message from President Bush and speeches from former presidential candidate Fred Thompson and independent Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman. But the subject of discussion for many was still VP candidate Sarah Palin and her pregnant daughter Bristol. John McCain was asked about it in Philadelphia.
Senator, was your vetting process thorough enough?
My vetting process was completely thorough, and I'm grateful for the results.
Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer isn't so sure about that.
The McCain people keep saying they knew all of this and so forth, but I'm beginning to wonder, and I think there are questions about how thoroughly she was vetted.
Former White House counsel Dan Bartlett, a CBS News consultant, looks at the bright side.
Governor Palin, coming into this convention, has done something that John McCain heretofore has not been able to completely do, which is to unify the Republican Party.
For some reaction from women here, I went to Minnesota's famous Mall of America.
Doesn't make me feel any different. I think she's a great woman. She's the best thing that happened for John McCain. It's a personal issue. Like Obama said, leave the kids out of it, especially the kids.
Lifelong Christian and family values is a big thing for her, and yeah. So all of a sudden her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant.
Well, it sounds like it might make you less likely to vote Republican.
Definitely making me less likely to vote Republican. I was less likely to vote Republican in the first place, but now I think it's going to make a lot of other people less likely to vote Republican, too.
I'm Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul.
CBS News has learned Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, said to be a reformer on earmarks, comes lately to that effort.
John McCain has picked Governor Sarah Palin as his running mate in part because she's supposed to be a tough reformer on earmarks. But when she was mayor of tiny Wasilla, Alaska, she was a champion of earmarks, garnering in her last term at least $11.9 million worth of earmarks and using a well-connected lobbying firm in Washington to do it.
CBS's Wyatt Andrews. Now this.
Today, let's talk about driving. Let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? I got news for you. Everybody thinks theirs is tough. Take the pizza guy. He not only has to do his commute, but once he gets to his job, he's got to go right back out there in the middle of your commute to get some guy a pie in 30 minutes or less. Fact is, our cars and trucks just got to take it. That's why there's Good Wrench and Go. It helps your Chevy continue to take it. Good Wrench and Go is happening right now at your participating Chevy dealer. Just head down their Good Wrench service lane. With Good Wrench and Go, you'll get an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one tidy package. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your Chevy can help you spend less time pumping and more time driving.
I can't stop thinking about it.
So, between now and November 30th, give it a go and make it Good Wrench and Go at your participating Chevy dealer. One way to know if Good Wrench and Go is right for you, visit GoodWrench.com and click on Chevy.
After Gustav, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says maybe Thursday folks can come home. More than a million people are without power. Governor Bobby Jindal.
We're not yet quite at halftime. To use a sporting analogy, people need to understand there's a lot more work ahead of us, a lot of damage that has been caused by this storm.
In Covington, Louisiana, water still rises. CBS's Pete Combs is there.
Here in Covington, there's a brand new problem. The Bugafalaya River is rising at an alarming rate to what officials call an alarming level. This has just now prompted an evacuation warning. Get out now. If you live from 3rd Avenue south toward the river, they want you out, and they want you out immediately.
It's a curfew, not martial law.
The anger was visible. A group of residents from Houma stood along a road watching a police checkpoint to see who was let in. When one family was given the go-ahead, the rest of the crowd turned on them.
No! Uh-uh! Why?
These residents of Terrebonne Parish are like many hundreds of thousands of evacuees. They want to get home.
We've never evacuated before. This was the first time because they scared everybody.
Now many of them say they won't evacuate again. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Houma, Louisiana.
Next in line, tropical storms Hannah, Ike, and Josephine. Last time there were four storms going at the same time was 98. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone.
You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one mom's trust. W! Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Great. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. For our listeners in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, KRXA had a power interruption. Generators have kicked in, and we're back on the air. And that should revive the stream. The live stream available via peterbcollins.com or krxa540.com.
When you're young and so in love as we, and bewildered by the world we see.
This one's for Bristol.
Why do people hurt us so? Only those in love will know what a town without pity can do. If we stop to gaze upon a star, people talk about how bad we are.
Oh, really bad, yeah, Levi.
Ours is not an easy day. We're like tigers.
Later this hour, Jason Leopold returns from thepublicrecord.org, and he's got the scoop on Troopergate in the great Yukon North in Alaska. That's Governor Palin's efforts to get her former brother-in-law fired as an Alaska state trooper, now the subject of a major investigation there. But Cliff Schechter returns to our program today, the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. Cliff, how are you?
Doing well. How you doing, Peter?
I am struggling because, on the one hand, I want to let Sarah Palin just injure herself with one revelation after another. And on the other hand, I'm hearing these warnings from David Brooks and others that, you know, we misunderestimate her at our own peril. And that seems to be a peril I'm willing to... to embrace.
Well, I mean, I understand that, and I do take that into account. But when David Brooks says it, I have to be honest with you. It tends to make me believe that we're overestimating her.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just am not a big believer in Mr. Brooks' logic. Well, he only knows about Patio Manor, whatever that is. He's writing about this week.
Well, and he thinks there's a salad bar at Applebee's, and I've never been to an Applebee's, but even I know that.
Right. He thinks that among many other great populist discoveries by Brooks when he gets off the highway somewhere.
So Cliff, it was Dayton, Ohio, right down the road from you, where McCain announced this after delaying it for 2 or 3 hours on Friday to maximize the suspense and keep the Obama bounce off cable news. But did you fall out of your Barco lounger when Sarah Palin was named?
Pretty much. I was, you know, watching with some folks here. I was over at the Ohio Democratic Party, actually, and everybody there was pretty much in shock, taking a look and then just sort of, I'm sort of wondering what this woman could possibly have to offer the country, besides the vast knowledge that comes with being a mayor of a town that's about as big as the building I grew up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
and of course her 18-month service since then, managing all National Guard efforts in Iraq, if you believe what John McCain says.
And each day we learn more about her, and it doesn't help the cause. She's a family values Republican, and they gave her a lot of points for not aborting her Down syndrome baby. And I don't take a position on that. That's her private matter. And now the daughter, Bristol, has, they had to announce that she's pregnant in order to dispel the rumors that she actually had the Down syndrome baby earlier this year. And so they're off message, and they have to respond to these fire drills one after another.
Right. Well, in the end, and many others have said this besides me, the truth of the matter is that for all of Sarah Palin's failings, and there are many, and for all the reasons why she's demonstrably unqualified to be vice president, president, or really anything close to that, it just shows more about who John McCain is. As with his abrupt changes on Iraq, his quick flips in policy on abortion and whether creationism should be taught in science class and what used to be a foreign policy isolationist or perhaps even a realist, but suddenly became this interventionist overnight. And, everything else about him, the truth is, whether it's leaving his first wife for his current wife, really everything in McCain's life is marked by this rash, impulsive, lack of judgment. The episodes of, it's not just his temper, I talked a lot about that in my book, these bursts of anger from his temper, but that's not even just it. It's sort of the more, even when he's on what's more of an even keel for him, he's willing to take extraordinary risks, put other people at risk, do things. I mean, remember when he took that walk in the Baghdad market because he had to prove that Baghdad was safe like he claimed it was?
Sure.
We heard from a number of military experts that he actually put soldiers' lives in danger. Because they'd have 100 soldiers watching him sweep the market, snipers put in place, take these guys off of their regular duty. And so he was willing to put people's lives in danger for his own photo op. And this is just probably maybe the best example of the Sarah Palin choice, of how he doesn't put much thought into anything. He's willing to react in a rash manner without really thinking about things. And again, is that what people think makes a good president?
Well, and Cliff, by passing up Mitt Romney and Tim Pawlenty, what he has shown is that he's willing to lose a bore in order to win an election.
Yeah, funny. Where did I hear that before? That's exactly right. Because remember, we're in the defining fight of our times. We're in the struggle of civilizations like one the world has never seen before. The war will go on perhaps 100 years, and who's best qualified to lead it? Should John McCain perish? Somebody who was mayor of a town of 5,500 or 6,000 as of a year and three quarters ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's essentially a woman who, as of the last few months, has been quoted as saying, we need to get some sort of an Iraq policy. And what does the vice president really do anyhow?
Well, and I didn't even know there was an Alaska separatist movement.
That's right. And she's also involved with that, speaking at their party this past year, at their convention or one of their meetings. And again, this is akin to what the South did during the Civil War. It's secession. It's treason, quite frankly. She also voted for Pat Buchanan in 2000, showing her moderate streak. That should make a whole lot of Jewish voters that John McCain's been trying to actively court with Joe Lieberman very happy, because Jews tend to feel really safe around Buchanan when he argues that World War II was an unnecessary war, unless they're in Palm Beach, of course, and there's a butterfly ballot available.
Right. Yeah.
The more you find out about her, again, the vetting, it's unbelievable, the lack of vetting, the fact that she's got this hiring scandal, the trooper scandal, and it turns out she had one when she was mayor, too. Turns out she hired a lobbying firm with ties to Jack Abramoff to lobby for pork, even though she's supposed to be a reformer. She was for the bridge to nowhere, even though the first thing she got up and said the other day in her speech was that she wasn't. So she lied in her first speech to the American people quite openly.
Mm-hmm.
She campaigned very openly for the bridge to nowhere initially. I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's like a roller coaster.
And to put a spotlight on Alaska and just the bridge to nowhere issues, okay, let's just focus on that solely for a moment here. Ted Stevens is going to be on trial for most of this fall. Don Young, the congressman from Alaska, a Republican who is, a pure pork belly guy, he supported the bridge and also an interchange in Florida that related to campaign contributions but didn't have anything to do with people in Alaska. And so as she tries to position herself as this reformer who was even willing to take on members of her own party, there will be almost daily reminders of how out of control the Republican Party is in Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, to want to sort of, and some of that stuff isn't her fault, although, let's face it, we have now learned, even though she claimed that she was stood up to Ted Stevens, that she happily embraced, first of all, she worked on raising money for a 527 group for him, a political organization. She also was all too happy to accept his endorsement, have him cut a campaign commercial for her, and accept his largesse, i.e. the Bridge to Nowhere and all that stuff. So she obviously is in fact not a foe of his. She's probably a close friend. But if there's anything, if you don't want to say she was involved in some of the goings-on that are sending many of these guys to prison, or at least they're being, investigated right now, she happens to come from this state where, again, the whole Stevens family, his son's house was raided, and you've got Don Young. I mean, you've got a number of these guys in the state legislature who are probably going to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who aren't going to, at least as far as I know, I haven't heard anything about it, can't stand her. I mean, she may sat there and openly laughed at jokes about with a radio host calling the state Senate president a cancer, a woman who happened to go through cancer and has come out and speaking about Sarah Palin, has basically said that she's not even qualified to be governor, much less vice president or president.
Well,
I'm not sure who they talk to over there.
Well, in the New York Times on Tuesday, they're reporting that people in Alaska are saying nobody talked to anybody up here. They can't find any Republican leaders who were asked, any questions about potential problems with a Palin nomination. And one of the little juicy stories that surfaced today is that when she left the job as mayor of Wasilla, population 7,000 or less, that her husband's stepmom ran for that office and that she opposed her husband's stepmom because she was pro-choice. At the city council level, I mean, that is quite a statement.
It certainly is. And again, all these things, it's like a death by a thousand paper cuts, right? I mean, it keeps coming. And the truth of the matter is they obviously didn't vet her in any way. The surprise is more important. As you said, one of the themes of my book was that John McCain puts political ambition before anything else. That would include this country. That's the point I tried to make in the book, that he comes first when it comes, and this is just, probably just about the best example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it comes back to. We can say all we want about Sarah Palin. The truth is she should have had the good sense to not accept this nomination, his picking her for to become the vice presidential nominee. But even with that factored in, we still need to go back to the source here, and that's John McCain.
Yeah.
John McCain decided after meeting her for 15 minutes that she was a soulmate of his, kind of like how President Bush could look into Putin's soul. We know that's all worked out very well for us.
Sure has. We're going to take a break and return with his cliffness, Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. And you can join us right now. Join the conversation toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in southern Monterey County down in King City. Spreckles Road at Metz Road getting first reports of an accident. Pickup truck and a trailer. Looks like all the activity should be off to the side. Watsonville Road at Burchell Road and Gilroy. Two-vehicle crash that's partially blocking the roadway. CHP on the scene there. Also, Blanco Road at Cooper Road in Salinas. We have a minivan off the roadway and into a ditch. The good news, nobody hurt. And 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. Some road construction delays. We have some lane shut down for installation of a new concrete median barrier, so be prepared for that. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains, no stalls and no accidents. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. At Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. If you spot a traffic problem, as always, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska will accept the vice presidential nomination tomorrow night. Will she talk about abstinence? Oh, it's one of those important Republican family values. And it works, except when it doesn't.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely. So abstain with me, baby, all night long.
All night long? Oh, come on.
Over and refrain with me, baby, all night.
Apparently Bristol and her paramour Levi Johnston has now been named. Just couldn't keep up with that abstinence thing. That's my man Roy Zimmerman. He was there in Denver, our house band at the Obama coronation there at Mile High Stadium last Thursday. And he's causing problems in St. Paul this week. Cliff Schechter's with us, the author of The Real McCain. Now, Cliff, I want to be really clear here that hypocrisy is the problem
and not an out-of-wedlock baby. It turns out that Sarah and I think his name is Todd Palin were not married when their first child was conceived, and now they have a daughter who is having a baby in high school. And we have to be fair, too, that Barack Obama's parents were not married when he was conceived. Stanley was the mom, and I don't remember his dad's name, but in the history you will discover that they got married after she became pregnant with young Barack. So it's not that, we have anyone here who has not sinned or been, cast in that mold. It's that Republicans run on these hypocritical policy platforms.
That's the problem here, Peter. It's not the, I would want them to have privacy in this kind of a situation. The problem that I have is they wouldn't want me to have it. And even in a press release that they put out, they said that they were happy about their daughter. I'm sorry about that. They're happy about their daughter Bristol's decision to have the baby, or to go forward and become a mother. Well, see, she only has that decision because of people that fought for her to have that decision.
Mm-hmm.
If her mother gets into government and John McCain and they put in the people they want, she wouldn't have that decision. She wouldn't be able to meet privately with her family. It would just be the state now controls your uterus. And this is what the Republican Party wants, and it's just amazing to me. They'll demonize you if you have an abortion. They'll demonize you if you decide to go forward and be a single mother. We all, to bring back a name that we're all thinking of probably a lot recently when we look at Sarah Palin, that would be Dan Quayle.
Yep.
We may remember that famous speech where he attacked the Murphy Brown character.
Yeah.
Because he was a single mother. So Republicans have never actually been able to solve this dilemma. The only thing is you're not supposed to do it, but they all do it. Or they're all using birth control, which, by the way, you're not supposed to do either. I'm not sure how David Vitter wasn't impregnating prostitutes, but I assume he was using some sort of birth control. But then it's okay for him to get a 100% rating from the Christian Coalition. And so there would be my problem, whether it comes to gay rights or women's rights that have to do with sexuality, is that they want to stick their head in the rest of our bedrooms and tell all of us how to behave in the case of Sarah Palin, who would not even want her daughter to be able to have an abortion if she were raped.
Yeah.
So, suburban moderate moms out there need to think about that, who are independent when they decide who to vote for, that if Sarah Palin gets her way, if you're raped, you'll be forced to carry that child and have that child. And you need to think about that, because or a victim of incest, because that's the crazy people that control the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to just take us back to a time before Roe. They want to get rid of Griswold versus Connecticut. They want there to be no right to privacy. Families can't make personal decisions.
Right.
Of course, they'll still make personal decisions for their families because they're the elite, and as you can tell with the David Vitters and Larry Craigs, no matter what they tell the rest of us to do, they'll still go on behaving the way they want to behave.
Right. Cliff, next hour I'm going to play a video, a new one produced by our mutual friend and a man you used to work with, Robert Greenwald, at Brave New Films. It features Dr. Phil Butler, who was at the Hanoi Hilton, I think a year and a half longer than John McCain. And he appeared on our program earlier this year. He wrote an open letter as to why he can't support John McCain. And what are your thoughts about how to parry the POW card when he played it on the Jay Leno show in response to a question about how many homes he has?
Well, he keeps constantly playing it, and I think he should be mocked for it, quite frankly. And he gets to the point where he has proven he won't give up as much as we mock him, but I think we should mock him even more, because respecting what he went through and understanding that he went through very difficult times there doesn't allow him to say, I just robbed a bank, but hey, I was a POW,
right.
So that makes it okay. The rest of us have to live by the rules of society. And if he does stupid things, or he does illegal things, or he does things, says things that are insensitive to others, or doesn't remember how many houses he had,
fair game.
All purpose gadget.
Cliff Schechter on the Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Putin running scared. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. This week from the Republican Convention in St. Paul. I was talking to Senator Orrin Hatch here in St. Paul Monday about the qualifications of Sarah Palin to be vice president, and he was unequivocal. She'd make an excellent vice president, he said during her interview, and when I asked him if she could step in and face down Vladimir Putin if she had to, he said not only would she be ready, but Putin would find himself with a very formidable adversary.
I have a feeling that not only is she ready, that Putin would find himself with a very formidable adversary who he would have a very difficult time handling.
Well, it didn't take long. Putin must have gotten the word, because there he is in the Times of London, dressed in camouflage, holding a rifle, standing over a limp tiger. It was only a tranquilizer gun, but still, Could this be a coincidence? The story was about Putin blowing off Europe's threats to dismiss Russia from the G8 for its invasion of Georgia. He seems to think that just because Europe gets more than a quarter of its gas supplies from Russia, that they in fact will never kick Russia out. I guess their sharply worded press releases no longer scare him. But of course, depending on how the U.S. election turns out, he could, before long, be face to face not just with some Galois smoking European, but a new American vice president whose skills seem to be growing daily, and who is in fact a trained and armed member of the NRA. Well, Mr. Putin, I've seen the picture, and it's a nice try, but I tell you what, you go to Alaska and take down a grizzly while raising five kids, and then we'll be impressed. Now this.
All right, grab a pen, a pad of paper, and listen up, because this latest offer from the guys at Advance Auto Parts is a twofer, but you got to stick with me on this one, so I'm going to give it to you straight. All right, here we go. Valvoline Conventional or Max Life Motor Oil. Buy 1 gallon, get one for free after mail-in rebate. Now, there's limit 2 rebates per household, so see the store for details. That's a great deal, no matter what you're driving. The offer ends September 27th. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Yes, our alert level is orange, but my manner remains mild. Although air travel today is so humiliating and frustrating, I think I'm going to stay off the road for a month or so. All our transmitters are operational, so we can proceed now with the remainder of the Peter B. Collins Show today. Lines are open if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll have the free speed zone for you next hour. Everybody's back in school off a summer vacation, so I'm expecting a full switchboard, and I also expect to hear from Jake. Jake took the summer off. I don't know where he's been or what he's been up to. But, Jake, if you're out there, this is a command performance. I'd like to hear from you in the Free Speech Zone next hour. Jason Leopold is our indefatigable investigative reporter. He publishes at his own new public website, a nonprofit journalism website, The Public Record. That's pubrecord.org. And, Jason, I missed you in Denver last week.
Yeah, how'd it go? Glad to have you back safely.
I find it very hard to, you know how they describe me as mild-mannered, and in general I am?
Except when you're not.
I get so pissed off by security officers and people who tell you what to do, and, you know, they gave me a free bottle of juke joint, whatever that stuff is, and I'm carrying it into the convention, and the officer pulls it out and says, I'll need you to take a swig of this. And I said, well, my joints are a little tight, and I'm getting even more out of joint if you keep asking me these kind of questions.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're living in a authoritarian state these days.
Well, and then the failure of the security team when we left Mile High Stadium after the Obama coronation on Thursday.
Right.
I mean, that was a beautiful event. It was well orchestrated. It was great television. It was even great in the stadium. I was up in a skybox watching almost just opposite the podium where Obama was. And they, you know, they had 6 hours to get 75, 80,000 people into the stadium, but we all decided to leave at the same time.
Right.
And the same people who were there to make it impossible for us to get in did not lift a finger or a whistle or a walkie-talkie to help 85,000 people leave. And, you know, after a Broncos game, people go to their cars in the parking lot. But that was not permitted. So we had to leave on foot. I had about a 1.2-mile walk to my car, and it took 90 minutes. At every turn there was a risk of a stampede because we had thousands of people packed in without enough lighting, without enough marking of where we're supposed to go.
Yeah, I think that I'm not sure if they were even prepared for the number of people that were actually going to be there. I mean, certainly I don't think the city, at least from what I saw, what I paid close attention to. They just seemed, a bit sort of taken aback by everything. And certainly that, I would say the opposite is in effect in Minneapolis.
Well, let's ask Amy Goodman.
Yeah, they're just, and it's interesting, it's the Democratic convention where it's, you want to be a Democrat? Well, it's going to take you a mile and a half to walk to your car, Peter. You want to protest the war in Minneapolis? Well, you're going to get the back of the hand.
Yeah.
So certainly dichotomy there.
Now, Jason, I want to ask you one thing, just as an observer who watched Obama's speech with interest on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Because I've raised this issue with a number of people, and most of them just dismiss it and say that I'm being a nitpicker. But I am, fully aware that this is the first African-American nominated to the presidency in this country, and that he gave his acceptance speech on the 35th anniversary of, or was it the 45th?
45th, yeah.
Thank you, of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. That speech meant a lot to me. Dr. King is one of the figures, from my youth and from the unrest of the 1960s who, I believe Obama is standing on the shoulders of Dr. King. And while many of the speakers of every description, including African-Americans who spoke before him at the stadium, did raise the history and the momentous notion of that date, Obama himself, who appeared on the three big networks without those precursor speeches, could not bring himself to mention Dr. King by name. He referred to him as the young preacher, and he did pick up a quote from Dr. King from the I Have a Dream speech. But why on earth would he omit a reference to the name of the man who gave that speech and who paved the way, as Mark Crispin Miller has pointed out, for African-Americans to actually vote for one of their own for president?
Absolutely. And in fact, you could tell just by the look. At least as an observer who watched it on television, you could tell just as the camera started to pan into the audience, and they obviously saw many different age groups of African Americans, and the ones that appeared to have been there during the time of Dr. King in 1963, you could sort of see the emotion just in their face. So they certainly were able to understand it. But, you know, it's funny that you mention this, because I actually felt that, you know, this is sort of difficult, actually. I'm trying to figure out a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Invoking the name Dr. King, would that actually make Obama blacker? Would that alienate people? Would that, would that suddenly sort of like in a psychological way, you know, cast him as some sort of radical? I think that, you know, he did, you know, it's just, the fact that it fell on the 45th anniversary was just, you know, happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly didn't plan it that way, and certainly nobody knew at the time that they were planning this convention that Obama would be the nominee. But I just felt that there was, you know, something that he was sort of keeping at arm's length, that he did not really want to fully, you know, step into those shoes. And I think part of the reason, I really do believe this, is that, you know, he is, you know, reaching out to a demographic that just, you know, perhaps doesn't want to have that image sketched in their mind.
Yeah, I just think that it was a kind of gratuitous kind of sanitizing of the message. And to me, you know, everybody knows who Dr. King was. And I just think to reference him in a reverential way was quite appropriate. And frankly, the omission just left me saying, well, why? Why would you omit that?
I think it certainly, you know, there must be a reason for it.
Right.
You know, when you say the word preacher, you know, that sort of leaves you with this sort of idea of what a preacher is, versus when you say Dr. King, you have a clear-cut image in your mind of who, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was.
I mean, for God's sake, he's the Mahatma Gandhi of our recent history.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, certainly a very interesting omission.
Yeah.
And curious.
Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he has published today an excellent investigative piece about Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska. And we'll come back to this in a minute, but I just want to make note here as we start to talk about this, Jason, as I read your story, there's some interesting parallels to embattled Kwame Kilpatrick, the Democratic African-American mayor of Detroit. But we'll circle back to that.
Yeah.
So you have dug in deep on the Troopergate issue there in Alaska. And it does appear that this investigation will at least be embarrassing to the governor, even if there is no sanction taken against her for it, because you've been able to access some of these rambling emails that she wrote that are already part of the public record.
Right. In fact, I did post all of those emails and documents on the public record,
mm-hmm.
So people could actually download that in PDF format for themselves. And, you know, I have to say that the email itself, that three-page email that she wrote back on August 10th, 2005, 2 months before she launched her gubernatorial campaign, is, you know, contains some not only just some serious allegations that were, you know, many of which were unsubstantiated, but there is an obsessive quality to it in which the, you know, she seems to be hell-bent on, you know, retaliating against, you know, her ex-brother-in-law. There's something very unhealthy about it. And to have, you know, this person, such, you know, a heartbeat away from the presidency, acting, you know, in such a, I guess you could say, such a vindictive way, it's somewhat scary.
Now, tell us a little bit about Mike Wooten.
Mike Wooten, well, let me just, you know, preface this by saying that he is far from an exemplary law enforcement official, officer. He's a trooper with the, or was a trooper with the Wildlife Division. He's still a trooper, but assigned to a different area now and embroiled in a bitter, bitter divorce and custody battle with Sarah Palin's sister, whose name is Molly McCann.
Now, it's only his fifth marriage.
It's his fifth marriage, and he's 35.
Oh, my God.
35 years old, you know? wow. And in fact, he got divorced from He was divorced from Sarah Palin's sister, remarried, I mean divorced from her for, like, I think, like 2 years ago, remarried, divorced again from the, from the new wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a guy who spent 10 years in the Air Force. I think one thing that's interesting is that has been lost out there is that she actually, Sarah Palin, actually wrote a character reference for him.
Yeah.
While she was mayor of
Wasilla.
Yes. Very small town. And said, you know, if the nation had more people like, you know, Mike Wooten, you know, we'd be better off for it.
Well, let me lift another quote here. I have witnessed Mike's gift of calm and kindness toward many young kids here in Wasilla. I have never seen him raise his voice, nor lose patience, nor become agitated with two G's in the presence of any child. Instead, Mike consistently remains a fine role model for my own children and other young people in Wasilla. Now, this contrasts, that's January 1st of 2000, so let's be fair. But this contrasts with the allegation that she's made that he used his government-issued taser on one of his kids.
Yeah, and actually, you know, here's the disturbing part. He investigated it, and he actually did, apparently, at least according to the investigation.
Don't tase me, Dad.
Yeah. You know, I hate to make any sort of, I don't want to make a light or, you know, turn this into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The union that represents the troopers said that, you know, it was absolutely, you know, a terrible thing that he did. But in fairness, the stepson asked him to. That was their response.
Wait a minute.
He was only 10 years old.
The stepson said, please tase me, Dad.
Yeah,
I want to
see
what it's like. Oh, okay. I thought it was a discipline, the application of discipline.
Yeah, no. This was a...
So it's just fooling around. It's like, hey, Dad, shoot me in the eye. I'd like to know what that's like.
Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he did.
Were they rehearsing, like, for the sequel to Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you sort of get out of this. You know, when you start reading this, you know, these emails and these reports, you get a pretty clear understanding of, you know, of the family here, and it's disturbing. I mean, where I can certainly admit, if anyone, you know, has read my book, knows that, mm-hmm. you know, I have a dysfunctional family, but wow, you know, that's the last thing that you want to, you know, I'm not running for office.
And neither have your parents, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, so, you know, they investigate. She and her family made 36, you know, separate allegations, filed numerous complaints. In fact, you know, once we get through the aspect of what he did, what this trooper did, and, you know, whether he was found guilty or, you know, he was disciplined. The fact is that, you know, there was an investigation that took place. She didn't like the outcome is what it basically came down to.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like the outcome, and nor did her family like the outcome. They didn't like the fact that he was, you know, trying to get additional rights in terms of visitation rights and custody for his children. And so she, you know, felt that she was above the law, in a sense, at least. Again, that's what's being investigated. But clearly from these, you know, from these prior emails and interviews, that's exactly what, you know, pretty much what is stated.
We'll talk more about Troopergate with Jason Leopold and how it affects the vice presidential candidacy of Governor Sarah Palin. I still want to call her Palin. I'm working on that. That's my Monty Python past. We'll take a break and return. Your calls and comments welcome here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You know the number? 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in southern Monterey County down in King City. Spreckles Road at Metz Road getting first reports of an accident. Pickup truck on a trailer. Looks like all the activity should be off to the side. Watsonville Road at Burchell Road and Gilroy. Two-vehicle crash that's partially blocking the roadway. CHP on the scene there. Also, Blanco Road at Cooper Road in Salinas. We have a minivan off the roadway and into a ditch. The good news, nobody hurt. And 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. Some road construction delays. We have some lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete median barrier, so be prepared for that. 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, no stalls and no accidents. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. At Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. If you spot a traffic problem, as always, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Let me think here. Remember, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. My thanks again to all the listeners who supported our foray into Denver to cover the Democratic National Convention last week. And it was fascinating in unexpected ways. And Jason Leopold from Public Record, pubrecord.org. I have to tell you that the high point for me was I got to meet with and talk to Don Siegelman.
Yeah, I actually heard him, that he was out there making the rounds. What was that like?
It was really touching. Because he is committed, and he's working right now to hold Karl Rove accountable. If you go to donsiegelman.com, there's a link there to hold Rove in contempt or contemptforrove.com. I don't remember offhand. But he's gathering signatures because next week when Speaker Pelosi returns, she has to make the decision about whether to allow that contempt report to become a contempt citation.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that our listeners will support that and get the message through to Pelosi.
Well, if there's anyone that deserves it, it's certainly Karl Rove. And I can tell you that, I certainly wouldn't mind seeing that.
I'm with you right there.
Hopefully, Don will give me the scoop.
Yep.
If it does happen.
So back to Governor Palin in Alaska, the Trooper Gate story. Again, people can read your detailed story and also see the emails that you quoted at pubrecord.org.
Yeah,
it's right
and there's
there.
Also the transcript from her interview with the investigators. And, you know, I actually did another story on Friday that basically revolved around, you know, she actually appears to have some sort of, issue with, as Robert Perry actually described, the story I wrote appeared on his site as well, you know, just like the U.S. attorneys who were fired for, you know, some of them who weren't being loyal Bushies, she has a sort of history of, dismissing, firing people who are not loyal Palinistas, Mr. Perry said. Mm-hmm. And, she did the same thing when she was mayor of, Wasilla, mm-hmm. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, and, you know, got rid of the police chief who, you know, wouldn't profess his loyalty to her. She was sued. There was almost a recall election. And in this email, this three-page email that she had sent, she basically, that she sent in 2005, she said that, her faith in the trooper organization, is not only waning, but pretty much gone because of this, this individual. Interestingly, whether or not it's just a coincidence, she happens to have policies in front of her right now in which she's, cutting trooper staff, making cuts to the Public Safety Commission, which is going to affect, caseloads and things of that nature. So there certainly seems to be, it doesn't look good.
Well, and this is why I brought up Kwame Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
And Sarah Palin is not accused of sending text messages to a secret lover, and I'm not making that parallel in any way. But, Kilpatrick used the police department.
Right.
And when they discovered his affair with his chief of staff and the text messages that affirm it, he fired some police officers from his security detail, and ultimately it cost the city of Detroit $7 or $8 million.
Right.
And to me, that's the real crime that Kwame Kilpatrick has committed here. And by, clinging to power and basically just forcing them to try to remove him, there's a hearing that starts tomorrow, I think, convened by the governor of Michigan. But everybody I talked to at the convention thought that the Kilpatrick thing was totally toxic. Nobody had any comment whatsoever.
Right.
I got Keith Ellison, the African-American from Minnesota, to talk about it a little bit, but everybody else just totally wanted to duck it. And this is a case where elected officials become so full of themselves that they think that the police work for them.
Right. And by the way, it really shows, what that shows is truly the inexperience. In a sense, I mean, when it comes to this administration, I think that there's an ideology where, they all believe that that you must be loyal to the president. Here in this sort of this small town sort of politics, and granted, Detroit's not necessarily a small city, but it's this inexperience, and that putting a person like that, a heartbeat away from the presidency. Would only, in my opinion, open up any sort of administration to, additional or it would be very similar to what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, and speaking of that, with regard to the investigation that's currently underway, there are some emails that Sarah Palin's administration had, apparently sent out regarding this trooper. Mike Wooten, and she refuses to release the email, citing executive privilege.
Well, and Carl Rove will go in and make sure they all disappear.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you very much, and thanks for joining Pat Morrow, sitting in for me last Friday.
That was a pleasure, and welcome back. Good to have you back, Peter.
Real good. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk next week. Go to pubrecord.org and read all about it. The Free Speech Zone is next, and I want to hear from you. Calls and comments on any subject. Join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine. You can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul.
It's my pleasure to call to order the second session of the 39th Republican National Convention.
Congressman John Boehner of Ohio just opened the proceedings here. Normal presidential politics delayed a day by Hurricane Gustav. Correspondent Dan Revive is with me here in the skybox at this basketball and hockey arena.
Yesterday at this time, this place was practically empty. Literally more than 2,000 red folding chairs on the convention floor with nobody sitting there. Now the delegates have finally arrived, ready to get going. Frankly, they want to hear some anti-Obama speeches, and above all, they want to cheer for the McCain-Palin ticket.
But correspondent Nancy Korda says Alaska delegates got some media training to deal with all the press questions, and Governor Palin has not been seen since it was revealed her teenage daughter is pregnant.
In the 4 days since she was selected, Governor Palin has yet to take any questions from the press, aside from one interview with People magazine, and the campaign won't say when she'll resurface to address this convention.
Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer remembers 1972, when George McGovern had to jettison his running mate, Thomas Eagleton.
McGovern said one day, I'm behind him 1,000%, and then within a couple of days had decided to replace him on the ticket. I think from that moment on, the campaign was doomed. I don't think there's anything like that under consideration right now, but I think another explosive disclosure, and I think that would certainly be an option.
I'm Howard Arenstein in St. Paul. More CBS News now from Harley Carnes.
Gustav is gone, but the system still produces rain in northern Louisiana, Texas, and Arkansas. More than 1 million people have no electricity. Damage to small towns west of New Orleans is extensive. Covington, Louisiana Mayor Candace Watkins is worried anew about the Bougainvillea River, which is rising toward the top of the levees as Gustav's floods drain backward.
This water is coming up quickly and to a high level. Homes may flood, but our larger concern is that you feel like you're safe, and if you have an emergency, our first responders cannot get to you.
Steam was rising under the collars of some folks in Houma, Louisiana, which was under the eye of the hurricane because the police wouldn't let them go home.
I'm not going to leave. Again, if they're not going to allow me to go back to my property, my home, my safe haven, if it's still there.
Oil prices today did us all the favor of falling more than $5 more.
Wall Street was bracing for Hurricane Gustav, and in the end it didn't deliver that knockout punch to the Gulf Coast as first feared. We still don't know fully the damage that Gustav caused, but the early belief is that there was not extensive damage, and they hope to have a lot of that oil back online by tomorrow.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus, in fact, there's no evident damage to the rigs. Oil today closed at $110, 26 cents a barrel. Wall Street, the Dow lost 26, NASDAQ off 18. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
A grisly money-making scheme confessed in the city of brotherly love.
Two funeral director brothers have pleaded guilty to stealing hundreds of bodies and then selling them for $1,000 apiece. to be cut up for parts, for resale, for transplant. Many of the victims next of kin were in the courtroom and listened to the gruesome details.
It was like having my heart yanked out again when my sister died. She died from cancer.
Lewis and Gerald Garzon will be sentenced in October. All five men charged here, including mastermind Michael Mastro Marino, have now pleaded guilty. Tony Hansen, CBS News, Philadelphia.
The old saying, sometimes you get the bull, sometimes the bull gets you, has no humor when it's real. In Wausau, Wisconsin, a 49-year-old farmer didn't come home on time. His wife found him dying, gored and trampled by Brutus, their prize bull, who was standing over him. The bull wouldn't move either. Sheriff's deputy had to shoot him to get to the man. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Today, let's talk about driving. Let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? I got news for you. Everybody thinks theirs is tough. Take the pizza guy. He not only has to do his commute, but once he gets to his job, he's got to go right back out there in the middle of your commute to get some guy a pie in 30 minutes or less. Fact is, our cars and trucks just got to take it. That's why there's Good Wrench and Go. It helps your Chevy continue to take it. Good Wrench and Go is happening right now at your participating Chevy dealer. Just head down their Good Wrench service lane. With Good Wrench and Go, you'll get an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one tidy package. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your Chevy can help you spend less time pumping and more time driving.
I can't stop thinking about it.
So, between now and November 30th, give it a go and make it Good Wrench and Go at your participating Chevy dealer. One way to know if Good Wrench and Go is right for you, visit goodwrench.com and click on Chevy.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It is the free speech zone, and that's not a barbed wire fence enclosure about a mile from the convention center. No, it's a figure of speech, free speech, here on the Peter B. Show. You can call in any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and I pay for the call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Call me. Now, some of our great regular callers have been absent over the summer, and your excuses have run out. School's back in session. Everybody's back to their normal schedule. You should have completed your vacation by now. And so I demand to hear from Jake in particular. Jake's one of our most articulate callers from Eureka, Arcata. And I don't know where he's been, but I hope he's back. 888-5-PETER-B. You can ask me a question about the Democratic Convention. You can comment on McCain, on Governor Palin, on any other of the issues we've talked about today, including the end of American exceptionalism. I think Andrew Bacevich's book has some very powerful arguments in it. And they apply, as he pointed out, not just to the Republicans who have screwed things up so badly, but to Democrats who seem not to understand what change really means, and particularly when it comes to foreign policy messes like Iraq, Afghanistan, Georgia, and Iran. So I invite your comments on that. Also, Cliff Schechter gave us more information about McCain's process, as simple as it was, in selecting Sarah Palin. And Jason Leopold gave us great detail on the Troopergate story that you're going to be hearing a lot more about. So all those issues are open for your comment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Nick Tanham, who did such a great job as the helmsman for our remote broadcast from Denver last week, is taking your calls, and he's standing by to hear from you right now. And what does it say here? Holly says that Jake has gone to the Midwest for a campaign. Wow. Well, good for Jake. I still want to hear from him. I mean, I was in the Midwest, and they have phones there, and even cell phones. One of the interesting things in Denver was that so many people had fancy cell phones, iPhones, Blackberries, Trios, and all that, that the wireless system run by Qwest was seriously overloaded. I don't know that it actually crashed at any point, but I would dial a number and sit there and watch my phone, and sometimes it would take up to a minute or two to actually connect the call. And there were several times, particularly on Thursday night, the night Obama gave his big speech at Mile High Stadium, where the network was busy and you could not make or receive a cell phone call. So it was interesting to see all of that max out and see all of the delegates. You know, the delegates were outnumbered by media 3-1. About 5,000 delegates, about 15,000 credentialed media people in Denver. And everybody had a wireless device, and I think everybody was using it at about the same time. So let's see what you want to talk about. 888-5-PETER-B, that's my toll-free number. And John in Brookings, Oregon, is kicking things off here in the free speech zone today. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Hey, I just have a thought that gives Obama a possible reason for underplaying Martin Luther King's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's been accused of anything he does is pulling the race card. And maybe he just didn't want to use that and make it was self-evident that it was his, you know, an anniversary of Martin Luther King and everything. And he just, mm-hmm. you know, politically, you know, he's got to get there to do any work. And he didn't want to create another situation. Just a thought.
Well, I do understand that. But every speaker before him and some of the musicians, including Stevie Wonder, made references to Dr. King and mm-hmm. to his legacy. And it's one that is shared by every American. It's not, I mean, Malcolm X, for example, was a figure who was certainly much more of an icon in the African-American community than in the broader diverse population. But Martin Luther King and his message were embraced by every kind of American. And so, again, you know, I don't want to get too nitpicky, and I don't want to suggest that I didn't think Obama gave a great speech. It's just on that issue. And let me offer you one more trivial thing to put into this mix. After Obama's speech, the family came out, and Biden came out, and, you know, there are the photo ops there on the stage. They were playing a song, a country song by Brooks and Dunn. Now, I don't dig country music, and I don't have any Brooks and Dunn in my catalog or on my iPod. But it struck me as odd that there's so many different types of music that could be used, including a lot of great R&B, that, again, is embraced not only by African Americans but by a broad cross-section of the population. And for him to have selected a country song, maybe that's a, you know, a signal that they're trying to win Colorado, they're trying to win over those rednecks. But I just frankly found it a little odd.
I don't have any problem with you thinking that. I'm just
okay.
throwing my notion out. I was so impressed with his delivery, his demeanor, his intelligence, his articulation. I'm also very concerned about Afghanistan, as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get the guy elected as opposed to the alternative, which is, you know, just unconscionable. I will probably move to Canada if that occurs.
All right. Save a room for me there, will you?
All right. I have an extra room, yes.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. 888-5-PETER-B, the free speech zone this entire hour. I want to hear from you, and don't wait till the end to call. 888-573-8372. Anthony in Carmel Valley. Hi.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to get your feeling about this comment that McCain's attempt to step on Obama's bounce is actually backfiring on his own convention.
Well, there are a number of things here that we have to kind of separate from the shoot-from-the-hip approach that McCain used to select a VP to the issues beyond his control. He certainly didn't, we had some predictions of when Gustav would come ashore, but it is hard to plan a convention around weather events that are, you know, hundreds of miles away. At the same time, the things that he should be responsible for and should have been in control of include the history of his VP pick. And so for him to do such a sloppy job, in my view, says a lot about John McCain. Now, I do think that we have to be a little careful about attacking this woman, because we have seen in the past, even in the recent past about Hillary Clinton, that when you make a criticism of a female candidate, even if it's in the same tone that you would make of a male candidate, it's often received and perceived differently as sexist, as, in its extreme form, misogynist. And so, as I told Cliff Schechter about an hour ago, I have these conflicted feelings. One is that, you know, it seems we ought to just sit back and let Governor Palin define herself day after day and catch up with the media coverage and, you know, some of the embarrassments that have surfaced. And on the other hand, I do think that it's fair to point out how inexperienced she is and how dangerous it would be if an old man like John McCain is elected president and doesn't survive 4 years. That's a really valid critical issue, but because of her youth and her gender, I do think that Democrats and others who attack her will have to do that with some diplomacy and care.
Yeah, it seems like a double standard almost with that. Whereas it's like a reverse double standard in our approach.
Well, sure, we have a woman who is there who's against affirmative action, right?
Correct.
and of course, she is a beneficiary of some form of affirmative action. She was not picked just because she's the governor of Alaska. The Republicans are going to win Alaska anyway, probably. And, it's not that important a state politically. It doesn't have that many electoral college votes. So, yes, I mean, she was chosen because of her sex. And this is something that, kind of like Bush 1's nomination of Clarence Thomas, proves to throw Democrats off their game and make it difficult for them to, you know, confront her directly simply on the issues.
Agreed. Yeah, it's the warning against Biden, you know, the very same thing, that he'll have to be careful in how he handles her during the debate.
Well, Biden is not a sexist, but he has trouble controlling his mouth. And he often, or at least historically, he has said things that he regrets. You know, like Barack Obama being that clean, smart, young African-American guy.
Sure. I just wanted to compliment you on the great job you did at the Democratic Convention. That you're a great standard bearer for the progressive cause.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I did my best, and hopefully George Miller is going to get over it. He was my first interview. He's a great guy. He's a liberal congressman from the East Bay. And everything was going great until I told him I could only give him and Nancy a D-plus for Democratic leadership of the Congress.
Yeah, I'm sure that didn't go over so well.
No. I'll have to work on my diplomacy myself. Thank you, Anthony. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems.
They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you and find out how to safeguard your shrinking dollar and hedge against inflation with gold. Did you know that gold has gained for the past 6 straight years? Get an education now by tuning in to The Gold Show with Jonathan Rose, Monday through Thursday night at 8, or call us at 1-800-510-9594 and rediscover the 21st century gold rush right here on AM 540 KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With 3 locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of new problems. Monterey County northbound 1, just south of Hurricane Point. This is down in the Big Sur area. We have a stall that's partially blocking the roadway. Also down in Soledad, south 101 at Arroyo Seco Road, a crash. Couple of cars in the center divide. CHP not yet on the scene. There may be delays as you approach the area. Highway 68, no stalls, no accidents. Same goes for Highway 17. You will see some slow traffic south 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. That's the usual slowing there. Also southbound 101 getting out of South San Jose. Look for some stop-and-go traffic from Coyote Creek Golf Drive as you make your way down towards Morgan Hill. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. McCain Palin, A Train in Vain. Taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. There's one line open for you right now, 888-573-8372. And I just put this out there to you because I have not been watching a lot of television since I got back from Denver. We've had guests and outings and that sort of thing. But a friend of mine, a female, said that she watched a news conference where John McCain was standing behind his VP pick, Governor Palin. And she reported that he could not take her eyes, his eyes, off her butt. I don't know what that means. She is being described as John McCain's third wife. But anyway, if you observe that and you can echo that, feel free to let me know. 888-573-8372. Ed in Aptos, you're next.
Hi, I think I just saw it on one of the news shows we were kind of looking over.
Yeah?
It was when she was introducing her and giving her speech. He was behind her, and
mm-hmm.
his eyes were his head was turned towards her, and his eyes were down towards her derriere.
Really? Do you think she had a thong on, and he was just gazing at the upper reaches
maybe,
of it?
Maybe he was just imagining, I don't
Ed, let me thank you because you're one of the many people who sent a check or an online contribution to help us with our coverage in Denver. And it made the difference because I only had to dip into my pocket a little bit to cover all that. And I thank you and all the people who generously supported it.
Well, happy to do it. I'm glad you. I'm sorry I didn't get to listen to you as much as I wish I could have. But.
Well, the podcasts are still there, peterbcollins.com. Follow
okay,
the links.
Well, I'll dip into them now.
And if you want to, for me, the high point was my conversation on Thursday at the stadium. I think it was in an hour or two with Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama.
I did hear the Siegelman part, so I was interested in that. I was curious if you were able to partake of the famous French restaurants, Dufay's, down there in downtown Denver.
No, I have to say, we fixed our own meals a couple of nights. We went to a Mexican place with Brad one night. But by the time we got out of the convention, the whole downtown was just jammed with delegates.
Wow.
And so it wasn't an opportune time to really enjoy the sights and delights of Denver.
Actually, it's an Irish restaurant called Duffy's.
Duffy's, huh?
I spent many hours and days in Denver, and so we used to it had good food at fairly reasonable prices. So
mm-hmm.
We would like to go to Duffy's, and we started saying it was a French restaurant. So we called it Dufay's instead of Duffy's.
Oh, that's cute. Well, I should have asked you before I went.
Well, I didn't have a chance to pass on my vast knowledge of Denver to you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, really bugging me is, you know, how the Republicans are, they get their talking points and they really stick with them, but how they're, you know, saying, oh, she has more administrative experience than Obama, and she's got more experience. Now, it's going to be a cold day in hell when she can qualify to go to Harvard Law School, as I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been through Harvard Law School. You know, he went to Columbia, and he was working Wall Street just after he graduated from Columbia, and he was on his way up there,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to be the community organizer, and he finally stumbled into it. But somebody that's a community organizer is a lot higher up on my scale than a mayor of a small town in Alaska, or any small town, and you're not to degrade small towns.
Yeah, but I think that McCain has realized that trying to challenge experience and claim that he's got more and Obama doesn't have enough hasn't gained traction, and Hillary is the evidence. And so he needs a game-changing event. He was persuaded by his own advisors that he was going down if he named a regular guy like Romney or Pawlenty. And even Lieberman was considered and decided they couldn't change the game enough. So it's a high-risk maneuver, and so far it's not panning out very well for McCain.
Well, and my wife's been thinking along the lines of that she came out with her pregnant daughter because there was a nasty rumor coming up that the Down syndrome baby is actually the daughter's baby.
Right.
And that... She was doing it, and I think there was an episode in my wife said of Desperate Housewives where Bree was fronting for her daughter who was pregnant and saying that she was pregnant to cover up that the daughter was pregnant.
Well, and Republicans watch Desperate Housewives,
so maybe they took a cue from Desperate Housewives, but somebody ought to challenge them and say, hey, let's get all this over with and have a DNA of the kid and see whose parents are, who's the real parent of this child, and it might be true, it might not be true. Let's find out. Let's get down to the truth.
All right, thank you, Ed. Always
okay.
Good to hear from you. We'll take a break and return to more of your phone calls. One line open now. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Share a podcast with any portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speed zone. All our lines are jammed right now. We'll take your calls lickety-split. When somebody hangs up, you can dial in 888-5-PETER-B.
Shut up!
we're here in the free speech zone. I do just want to offer a comment before I go to more calls, and that is that the Democrats did not permit any dissent in Denver last week. Now, the cops were not as amped up as they are in St. Paul, but there was one incident where a Code Pink protester was roughed up unnecessarily. And inside the convention perimeter, it was a lockdown. They made sure that if you didn't have credentials, and they didn't give credentials to protesters, that you could not get within earshot. And there was one of those free speech zones, ringed with, not barbed wire, but chain link fence. And it was so far away from the route that delegates and media people took to get into the convention that it may as well have been in Laramie, Wyoming. And I'm disappointed by that because I think the Democrats are big enough, strong enough, and open enough to tolerate other voices. And, that's the kind of change I'm still waiting for. Jenny in Salinas is calling. Welcome, Jenny. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on, first of all, that video, I think, of McCain, you could check that out on YouTube, and it's pretty clear what he's, checking out. But aside
you mean,
from
you
that,
mean his eyes glued to her glutes?
Yeah, you can get that video on YouTube.
Well, and just a second here, because I just got a note from Susan in Soquel. She said, yeah, Christine Kraft was talking about that on the radio last night. She said there are lots of pics on the net of his eyes glued to her butt. Wow.
Yeah. Well, the same point I was thinking about was what you had made about if he passes away, she would be the one to run the country, and it's obvious she doesn't have experience or I don't even think the education to do so, so that would be just a disaster.
Now, wait a minute, Jenny. Aren't you a female?
Yeah.
Well, John McCain picked her because he expected you to vote for a female, any female.
Yeah, but that's, that's so insulting. It really is.
Isn't it?
I felt insulted, yeah. And
I agree.
Mean, like I said before, I didn't know whether to punch him in the face because I felt so insulted or laugh because it was, it's just going to be a disaster for him. I don't think it's risky. I think it was stupid of him. But, that's better for me because I wasn't going to vote for him anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But aside from that, the only comment I really wanted to make was her position on abortion and her whole family values. I guess it doesn't really make sense because the whole Republican thing is about teaching abstinence, and obviously that's not working even in her own family. And I would just like to say that a lot of families out there, I mean, I was young when I was pregnant, and I appreciated that at least I even had the options disposable to me.
Yeah.
Someone, in the same case with a totally different family, may not have the options or the support of a pretty, prominent family like hers to support a child.
Well, and Jenny, the young father has a Facebook page that is now splattered all over the blogosphere. But in it, he describes himself as an effing redneck. And one of the things he says is that I don't want children. Now, that probably was posted before he found out that Bristol is pregnant. At the same time, we have something unfolding here in public view that could become quite tragic, that this young man may recognize that he's not ready to be a real father to this child, and that I'm only speculating here. I don't know any of these people or what their thoughts are, but you can imagine that it's possible that he's sitting there thinking, I'm trapped. Because this family has gone public and said, I'm going to marry this girl and that we are going to raise this child with their support.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that happens in many families. And it's one of the reasons that I oppose parental consent for abortion rights, because there are some families where the young mother or the young father could be brutally beaten or even killed. By an angry father who is not willing to tolerate the range of choices, including the potential for abortion, that are logical under the circumstances.
Right. Not everyone. There is no universal family values, and that's something that they have to take into consideration. And especially coming from this type of situation, they should be more understanding, because that's one of my I guess one of my key choices in looking for a candidate is their position in women's rights. I don't care if Hillary was going to be a president nominee or not. That's not the type of women's rights I was looking for. I was looking for something, you know, for progress, I guess, for not only myself but my daughters, because everyone should have the choice, even if they don't believe in, you know, what it essentially stands for, you know. But
right. Yeah, I believe in your choice, and your choice could be to keep a baby or not to take it to term.
Right.
But they believe that they can make that moral choice for others.
Yeah.
And that's where I reject and draw the line. Jenny, thanks for a great call today. It's really nice to hear from you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, now to line two, Tom in Monterey, listening on KRXA. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I just want to thank you for going through the trouble of doing your show every afternoon. I really look forward to it.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, and it's my therapy.
Okay, me too. I wanted to mention that as far as Obama mentioning Martin Luther King, I can just imagine that if he did do that, the Fox network people would point out that he was playing the race card, or they could use that a whole bunch of different ways to spin it. Of course, if he didn't say anything or he did say something, they could spin that. But you can't win. But I was happy to see that he soft-pedaled that and he referred to it, but he didn't need to come out and say it, especially in light of all the other attributes that they did for Martin Luther King.
All right, well, Tom, hold on a sec, because here's a thoughtful email from Kevin in Santa Cruz who agrees with you. He says nice things about me first, and then he says, as I listened to Obama's speech, by far the best he's given, I was moved close to tears many times. But with the King reference at the end, the floodgates opened, and when I called my girlfriend to talk about it, I was so emotional I couldn't speak. You misunderstand the power of Obama's not invoking the name of MLK or the I Have a Dream speech, and his completely leaving King out of the speech until the gut-wrenching climax. As Obama stood there telling his life story, the forest that I chide you for not seeing was standing in front of you and standing all around you. A direct reference to MLK would have greatly cheapened the overwhelmingly powerful and inescapable vision that in many, if not all, ways Martin Luther King's famous dream has become a reality. Well, I appreciate your comment, Kevin, and I just slightly disagree because I was there in the stadium, and I felt that it would have been incredibly appropriate for him to reference King. He didn't have to go deep. He didn't have to, go into a whole African-American experience thing. I just thought it was curious that he didn't mention the name, and I feel like there is this wink and a nod going on where Obama seems to feel that it's counterproductive to acknowledge that he's an African-American.
That may not be the point, but I'm glad to hear what Kevin had to say, because now I know I'm not crazy if someone else agrees with me.
Well, I Katrina doesn't agree with me. Most people I've talked to don't agree with me.
Maybe you need to get some therapy here.
All right, Tom.
Okay, and also your comment about Brooks and Dunn music.
Yeah.
Barack doesn't need to play soothing, familiar music to people who are already in his camp. He's smart if he uses that opportunity to try and convert the people with music, mm-hmm. if he can, convert the unconverted. Every word, in the speech, everything that they say, the music that they play, everything that goes on there, even the backdrop of the designed to have an effect.
Right.
And so it doesn't, they don't just do that or take a song out of their glove compartment and play mm-hmm. it, you know, whatever's on top. Everything has an effect there. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that. And
okay,
I,
how about I'm Taking My Country Back? That's a country song.
Yeah.
Well, I would have liked that better.
There's and maybe that's being overused a little bit. And finally, McCain looking at Palin's derriere.
Yeah.
My guess is that as he was standing there, he was realizing, and she was talking, and he's checking out, sneaking peeks there. It was obvious to me, too. Maybe he realized that she's something, the kind of candidate that he'd like to have a beer with.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Let's see, Steven Salinas, you're up next on the Peter B. Show.
Hey, hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to say that the quality of your broadcast, the actual, you know, technical part of it,
uh-huh.
you guys really did a good job out of there. I mean, Stephanie Miller, I love her, and I could barely hear her program. I mean, her audio stunk.
Oh.
And you did even better than Bill Press.
Oh, well, thank
and
you.
Just, you guys did a nice job there, and so I just wanted to give you a pat on the back for
All right,
that.
let's pat Nick Tanum on the back, because he was in week two of his tenure here at the PBC show when we put him on the board for the remote. And he kept everything, got all the tones right, and so I'm really grateful to him. But thank you for that comment, because we have no idea when you're originating in a mush zone like that. All we know is that we're on the air. And
yeah,
I did get to listen back to some of the podcasts, and I was generally pleased, too. But I appreciate your affirmation there, Steve.
Yeah, and then the Siegelman portion, the guy a couple of calls ago, he was that was the point, the question I wanted to ask you, and that segment went really good, and that guy that might be the one Roe Bush situation that gets played out all the way is Siegelman's is predicament, and
well, if we can crack that can open, the worms will come crawling out.
Yeah, that's got to be the big bullseye right now. And then was Zimmerman with you, or did you just have tapes?
Oh, no, he was right there with me at the stadium.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That guy's great. And you haven't played the War on Terror very much lately. I'd like to hear that.
Okay. I'll get it in this
and
week.
And then the other one is, could you get a beer or anything at the convention, or did you have to go across the street, or how did they handle that?
There, I did notice a bar at the stadium that was open on Thursday, but I don't believe any alcohol was available in the convention center. I would have found it, I think.
Well, hey, that was real good, and that was a big kick, and you guys did a real good job, and it was very informative.
Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that. Real good to hear from you today. We're going to take our break right now and return in a moment for more of your phone calls. 888-5 Peter B. I didn't put any music in here. How can we go to a break if Mr. Collins has not? Let's see what we can find here. Heartbreak beat. This is going to work. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or, Big Mouth. Full of it at peterbcollins.com. They'll all get to me. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of new problems. Monterey County northbound 1, just south of Hurricane Point. This is down in the Big Sur area. We have a stall that's partially blocking the roadway. Also down in Soledad, south 101 at Arroyo Seco Road, a crash. Couple of cars in the center divide. CHP not yet on the scene. There may be delays as you approach the area. Highway 68, no stalls, no accidents. Same goes for Highway 17. You will see some slow traffic south 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. That's the usual slowing there. Also southbound 101 getting out of South San Jose. Look for some stop-and-go traffic from Coyote Creek Golf Drive as you make your way down towards Morgan Hill. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
As At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Bo and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Show.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my ground.
And while Tom Petty croons, I want to complete the list of people who supported our trip to Denver last week. You heard from Ed Manning and Aptos earlier this hour. Larry Doors and Janet Wolf in Costa Rica, our most generous supporters. Claudia Giuliani, no relative of Rudy, we hope, from Mill Valley. Dennis Hostetter of Santa Cruz, Holly Klingel of Eureka. Doris Reed, she described herself as an 83-year young black woman of San Francisco. Joanna Jensen in Humboldt, Robert Forns in Arcata, Chris Bryan in Salinas, Nancy Patterson in Winters, Andy Drawl from Wayne, New Jersey, Linda Wilson of Olympia, Washington, Helen Ferenz of Eureka, Lee and Chris House of McKinleyville, Holly Klingel of Eureka, Steve Johnston in Salinas, Gordon Winkleman, Boulder Creek, Charles Russ in Oakland, and Marie Grimes in San Francisco. And let me not leave out Beth Melville in Portland. I think that covers everybody. And again, I thank you for your support of this program. It really means a lot to me. And I got a call during the break from Dr. Phil Butler, retired Navy man who lives in the Monterey area, committed to peace and justice. The man who was at the Naval Academy with John McCain and preceded him at the Hanoi Hilton by, I believe, at least a year and a half. And I don't know if there'll be time for me to play part of it today, but there is a powerful new video that Robert Greenwald produced that's up at bravenewfilms.org. It's right on the homepage, bravenewfilms.org. I encourage you to watch it, and we'll line up a time to talk with Phil Butler over the next few days about the video and about what he knows about John McCain. On line three, it's Josh in Salinas. Hello, Josh. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that?
Hey, Peter. Good to hear from you. Besides just the stunning arrogance of the Republican commenters saying things like, the first thing I heard about Sarah Palin was, sure, she has experience. She was governor of Alaska. She sold an airplane that wasn't being used. How about that?
Well, I think that, what they have done is taken away any effect that John McCain might have in trying to criticize or trivialize the experience of Barack Obama. Because he can't do that without having to respond to even implicit questions about his own choice here.
Right. But the incredible Trump issue that I just think can't be ignored, even though the mainstream media are doing a pretty good job, is the fact that she's a secessionist. Hold on. Are we putting America first, or do we not believe in the United States of America?
Well, did you even know there was still an Alaska independence movement?
No, I didn't.
I didn't. I know about Puerto Rico, but I don't know about any independence movement in the 50th state.
After 16 years of being hectored by Republicans about how liberals and Democrats don't believe in America and aren't patriotic, this is beyond contempt. This is insane. This is incoherent. It's just nuttiness.
But she wants to drill everywhere.
Yes, and she's the kind of person who's just used to winning, you know. She was the beauty queen winner. She was mm-hmm. She was the hockey winner, basketball or whatever. She's one of those jocks who are just used to winning, and they will win. but she got the phone call said, you know, do you want to be vice president? She said, yeah, sure. Let's win.
Do you think Regis Philbin was on the call when that went through?
Why on earth did she say yes? Even if McCain was loony and goony enough to say no, why did that woman say yes?
Well, the more that comes out, the more you think she and her husband probably regret it, but I don't know. We're going to have to follow this and see how it goes, and as John Nichols pointed out earlier today, it'll be very interesting to see how she handles her acceptance speech at the Republican convention. It should be tomorrow night, but, of course, the schedule's off because of their response to the hurricane and their decision to drop Dick Cheney from the speaking lineup. And I guess Bush is going to give a speech about how great the response has been to Hurricane Gustav.
So you're too late, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk to you. Now to Drew in Monterey. Always love to hear from Drew. How are you today? Drew, are you there? Drew, did you hang on? Apparently not. Well, that gives me just enough time here. I'm going to start the audio track from the video to this important piece that Robert Greenwald produced featuring Dr. Phil Butler of Monterey. You can find it on the homepage at bravenewfilms.org. Let's listen.
I went to the United States Naval Academy from 1957 to 1961, graduated in the top quarter of my class. I was awarded 2 silver stars, 2 bronze stars, 2 legions of merit, and 2 purple hearts. I think I can say with authority that the prisoner of war experience is not a good prerequisite for a president of the United States.
A fellow POW.
Hell, I'm 70 years old and I've lived through being a prisoner of war. I'm going to tell it like it is. Went to Vietnam in early 1965 for a combat cruise. I got shot down April the 20th of 1965 and was able to escape and evade after I was shot down at night for 4 days and nights, at which time I was captured and became prisoner of war. John McCain arrived in October of 1967, and so I was there 2.5 years before he was. The treatment changed in fall of 1969 when Ho Chi Minh died and a new group came into power who were pragmatists, and they stopped the nasty treatment for the most part. But John has allowed, I think, the media to make him out to be the POW, the hero. And in fact, there were over 600 just like him who performed just as well. The data show that the prisoner of war group are dying at an earlier age, and that we suffer lots of residual things that non-POW group really doesn't have to deal with. And it's imperative that we have someone who is healthy and can stand the rigors of that job. So I started having friends I play golf with and friends in other aspects in the community service that I'm involved in here in Monterey Peninsula, and family members, and everybody coming up to me and say, hey, you knew John McCain. What do you think of him? Well, most of my experience with him was living across the hall from him, and he was well known by his own classmates and everybody that knew him as a very volatile guy, and he would blow up and go off like a Roman candle at any possible time. He was.
That's all we're going to have time for right now. The video runs a total of 4 minutes and 10 seconds. I encourage you to watch it. It's very powerful. BraveNewFilms.org is where you can find it. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to do this again tomorrow and try to keep the transmitters on the air the entire show. I appreciate your support.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Hi, it's Peter B.
urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another t-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the t-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the t-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. After day one of the Republican convention was abbreviated by the foul winds of a hurricane, day two is underway. Live now to St. Paul, CBS's Howard Arenstein.
Harley, with the latest Gallup Daily tracking poll showing Barack Obama with an 8-point lead over John McCain, this convention takes on even more importance. Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman whipped up the crowd in this arena along the banks of the northern Mississippi.
From this gathering here, we'll show America a bright future. We'll paint the entire Mississippi watershed John McCain red, and we will win the White House.
President Bush will address the convention in the next hour by video hookup. He'll say that we live in a dangerous world and we need a president who understands the lessons of September 11th. The man we need, he'll say, is John McCain. Also speaking tonight, an independent Democrat who was on McCain's short list for vice president, Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. He will say he's endorsing McCain here because country matters more than party. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, live at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul.
President Bush has declared a major disaster in the state of Louisiana, which opens the faucet of federal aid and recovery money. More than a million people have no power. Good stuff is raining on northern Louisiana and Arkansas, spreading toward Missouri. CBS's Pete Combs.
Good stuff may have loosened its grip on the New Orleans area, but it certainly has not let go. There are tornado warnings all around the area, especially up on the North Shore. And then there's flooding in the Bugafalaya River, which at this point, nobody's sure exactly where it's going to crest.
And there are three more tropical storms pointed this way.
We have Ike out there in the mid-Atlantic, and then another one that just came off the coast of Africa. So it's, it looks like a busy hurricane month.
FEMA chief, referring to Hannah, Ike, and Josephine there, David Paulison. Oil prices haven't been at $110 a barrel since last April, moving in the right direction at last, down another $5 plus per barrel today.
I'm Bob Fuss in Washington. With the threat of Hurricane Gustav over, oil prices are sinking fast, reaching their lowest levels in 5 months. Analysts